In the name of the Father and Son, Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. In the meeting between the Lord Christ and the Samaritan woman, he told her, you worship what you do not know, we know what we worship. And of course, as we all understand that she was from the unbelievers, she didn't know. She had an idea, confused idea about a Messiah who is coming, but truly she was not among the believers. And studying the matter of the unbelievers, we can easily differentiate the unbelievers into two main groups. The first group is what we call as the simple believers. These people, actually, their mark is ignorance. They do not know. Simply, they have their own understanding of things. They are confused. They have confused or distorted knowledge about God, and they believe in goodness, yet they do not know the source of it. And we can think of many, many people whom we know, they fit in this category, and one of them is the Samaritan woman. They are harmless in most of the time. Simply, they are searching for God, but they don't know where. And then we have another group whom the Lord called the children of Satan. Their marks are lies and craving for killing. These are the two main things that we can distinguish this group with. They are liars. Actually, they are pathological liars. What we mean is they tell a lie and they believe it and to react as if this is true, this is reality. And they have this kind of craving for blood. The Lord said to the Pharisees, whom they were among this group, you are of your father the devil. You are of your father the devil. And the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. Among this group also are the extremists in Egypt, the fanatics, whom we see them every day, unfortunately, and they are making news by hurting and killing the Christians and burning churches. And sometimes the question that comes to our mind, why God is keeping those people unpunished? Why not God to immediately speaks justice against them, and then everybody will be relieved from the persecution that those people are bringing upon the Christians? Of course, there is a wisdom that God allows those people to exist. And we can look at this wisdom and we can find at least seven reasons why those people benefit us in a certain way. Number one, we are blessed because of them. The Lord said this, blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. When we look at the Beatitudes, maybe we feel like we do not fit in any category, and then at the end, we find this one, and we can say, yes, maybe we can be blessed because of those people who are persecuting us. Maybe we did not learn how to be poor in spirit. Maybe we are struggling to acquire the purity of heart. We are not, in essence, very good in making peace. Maybe we are short in any of these, but when it comes to this one that maybe we did not choose, we are blessed because of those people who are persecuting us. Remember this, they are the reason behind us and the Church of God to be blessed as the Lord promised. Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you. Secondly, those people allow some of us to be crowned with martyrdom. We all struggle every day in our day-to-day life to acquire purity and to refrain from sinning. Sometimes, maybe in the mind of some of us, I want to have anything that would get me into heaven just now in whatever path. Those people, actually, they are giving some of us this shortcut where they end our struggle and they put us into this royal path to heaven as martyrs who offer their own lives for the sake of the Lord Christ. And the Lord said, they will put you out of synagogues. Yes, the time is coming that whoever kills you will think that he offers God service. We celebrate the commemoration of the martyrs. We decorate our churches with their icons. We always remind ourselves how those people struggled. Their biography, their stories bring to us this kind of love towards God and His kingdom, and we long to share those people in the kingdom of God. Saint Philopater or Saint George or any of those saints whom we remember and know their stories are like those people who are dying now in Egypt. We rejoice in those people who died in the former days, and also we rejoice on those people who are joining them now in the kingdom of God. So first of all, those children of Satan, they are bringing upon us blessedness. They are allowing some of us to be crowned with martyrdom. Their evil reveals before us the faithfulness of the Lord, saying, they do not intend to do this, but actually what they are doing is proving the faithfulness of what the Lord told us before. He said, then they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. Those people are proving that the Lord, what we said, was the truth. He told us about something that's going to happen. It is happening now. There is no surprises. The Lord didn't say to us, if you believe in me, I will always deliver you from persecution. He never promised that if you trust in me, then you will never be harmed physically. No, on the contrary, he said that if you truly believe, if you follow, then you will find people who think that every time they kill one of you, they are doing a service to God. They also reveal in us the power of the resurrection. If you look at the picture on the screen carefully, this is the mass, the liturgy, that was conducted immediately the second day after the church was burned in Mbeba. If you look at it and you meditate upon the walls behind the people who are praying, you will find the smoke, the burn behind them. And they are dressed in white and they are celebrating the liturgy. This is the resurrection, the power of the resurrection, where death and destruction will never conquer the children of God because they have the sacrifice among them. They still can come to the church while hurt. Some of them died and their church should burn it, but they still can celebrate the Eucharist, which is in essence the sacrifice of thanksgiving. This is the power of the resurrection, my brethren. When the Lord said, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it, this is what he meant. The people can come with their wrath and anger, and Satan, their father, is pushing them to destroy the church and burn it, but still he cannot conquer the will of the people to come and worship and celebrate a liturgy even among this destruction that we can see it in the picture. We wouldn't ever see this unless we saw what happened the day before, and then we see the resurrection. We knew that the Lord have power over death. He can conquer it when he died. If he keeps telling us about that, I can conquer death, we will never believe it unless we see it. And this is exactly what we see here and what the Lord promised us, that the gates of Hades shall not prevail against his church. They remind us of how much the Lord loved and endured for us. We all got offended when we heard this person cursing our Pope or threatening the church. But actually, imagine this. If the people are taking, God forbid, the Pope or one of the bishops, and they are slapping him on the face, spitting on his face and bringing him to the cross to be crucified, how would we feel? We would feel enraged with this. This, what's happening, is bringing to us what the Lord did. But because of the story of the Lord Christ offering himself is something that we keep on telling day after day and year after year, we lost the sense of what the Lord did. We feel like it's a story, but we do not relate to the person, the Lord Christ himself. We felt offended because one time we hear a person or reviling against our Pope. What about the Pharisees when he said to the Lord They said to him, this fellow does not cast out demons except by Beelzebub, the ruler of the demons. They are accusing him that he is a man who is doing miracle with the power of Satan. My brethren, we now know, because we see how the Lord endured, how much he loved, how much he sacrificed. He accepted insults and humiliation and torture because he loved us that much. That's why St. Paul said to us, for consider him who endures such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. Remember him, he endured much, much more than what we see now. He is the innocent, endured for us the sinners, because he loved us that much. Those unbelievers, the children of Satan, they serve as a wake-up call for us. We have all felt this kind of indignation in our hearts, this kind of rebuke, for we are still living here and sinning, not considering the sacrifice that is given every day from our brethren in Egypt. As St. Paul says to the Romans, waking them up, and do this knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. Wake up. This is the call for all of us now. We can demonstrate, we can go and we will do this, we can do whatever, but at the end, the call is for us to repent. If we miss this, then we missed the whole thing. What's happening now is a woke-up call for all of the Christians to repent, to please God in their deeds, to accept to die to sin, to share with their brethren who are giving their souls and their lives for Christ's sake. At the end, those people also are of benefit for us, because when God is glorified, when he justly judged them, we will always remember what he did. As the people of Israel kept on remembering and singing and praising God every time they remember what the Lord did to Pharaoh. So the heart of Pharaoh was hard, neither would he let the children of Israel go, as the Lord had spoken by Moses. The more the hardness of the heart of Pharaoh, the more glorious was the deliverance that was brought to the people of Israel. The more cruel those people are persecuting the church and killing more of our brethren day after day, the more when God will bring deliverance to the church, his name will be glorified. Remember this and remind yourself and those people who relate to you with what the Lord did and will always do whenever it is time to execute justice. There are certain things to remember and to remind ourselves with in this difficult time that the church is going through. Our doctrine is the doctrine of love. Our prayers are those who persecute us. We pray and say, the unbelievers, O Lord, restore them. Restore them. We want them to come to the knowledge of the truth. They are victims of their father. They know nothing better than this. This is what their father taught them, to kill and to lie. But we want them, O Lord, to know you, so they will come to the knowledge of the truth and to come to love and to live as decent human beings. We should not forget this. This is our doctrine. If we hate them, then we become like them. Then they conquered us truly. Then we lost. This is the only condition where the church really will lose, when we start being like them. We fight back in the same way, we kill, and we kill others, and they kill us, and we kill them. This is not the way we should conduct our struggle. Also, we should remember that for this we are called. This is what St. Peter said, not returning evil for evil, or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, blessing, knowing that you were called to this, that you may inherit a blessing. If somebody graduates from the medical school, then he called to serve as a medical doctor. What's strange about this? If we all graduated from the womb of the baptism to be children of God, to express and to live the light that he showed to us, what actually here is a surprise when the people are doing to us as they did to the one who called us. We should not be surprised or frustrated or disappointed or feeling like, why God you are doing this? This is what we are called for in order to inherit the blessing. Anything else actually is exception. The Lord never used the miracle to defend himself or to convince those who do not believe. You remember when the people came at the cross, said, come down from the cross and we believe in you. And he never listened to this. Now, do not tempt the Lord. Let us not our prayer be, O Lord, please, kill those people, devour them with a fire from heaven, then our confidence will be restored. This is not the way. He never did this. When St. Peter tried to defend him at Gethsemane, he told him, put your sword back. This is not the way. If I want to defend myself, I don't need your help. I will accept it because this is the cup given to me from the Father. In due time, God will bring deliverance. Now, there is another message. There is another reason why he's allowing this. This is not his way that he's going to bring signs and miracles. And this should not be the thing that we are asking for. At the end, remember, my brethren, we are armed with the light of the Lord's teachings and the love with which he entrusted us toward those who hate us. Still, he told us, love your enemy. Of course, we do not think about it, love my enemy, that I feel affection towards the Salafiyin or something. This is not what is meant. This is meaning I can still do the act of love even if my emotions are not helping me. I still can pray for them to be restored. I still wish that God convert them, not to punish them. I pray for the safety of the church. If for any reason one of those people came in the church, we will host this person. We'll invite him to be with us and to eat with us. This is whom we are, and this is how we should live. Nothing else would fit what the Lord entrusted us with. He told us, love your enemies. Until he comes, we should remind ourselves with it. With whatever feelings we have, with whatever anger that we hold in our hearts, we should not accept to do what is right, to love everyone and wish all of the unbelievers to be restored. To God be the glory forever and ever. Amen.